Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, this third Sunday in Ordinary Time, we take a look at a reading from the prophet Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth, a sign of repentance, a sign of mourning. And when God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. Do you carry past sins in your own heart that you've never really confessed? Do you have a burden somewhere, might be years ago, that you didn't bring to confession, that you didn't talk to God about? Brothers and sisters, you know, we who are sinful, weak human beings, God wants to use us to bring the gospel to many. But you can't give it if you don't live it. You can't give what you don't have. And the Lord is saying here that he wants to lead us. And when the people turn to him, when the people realize their sin, they turn to him and they ask forgiveness and he forgave them. He repented of the evil he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. My goodness, our asking for forgiveness, our repentance is a great gift in a certain way to God. We're taking responsibility for what we've done wrong. And we're asking his forgiveness, which will be given. Please don't carry. Please come and talk to the Lord, go to confession, and be set free. Please. The responsorial psalm says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord." Not the ways of this person or that person. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your love are from of old. In your kindness, remember me because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice, and teaches the humble his way. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is good and he is upright, and he shows us the way. The ones who are willing to admit, the humble, he guides them to justice. The ones that are willing to acknowledge their wrongdoing, he will teach you his way. The humble, the people who are willing to say, "I've sinned, I've failed, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me?" And he will. He will. He's promised us that. Don't just say it something, you know, over the back of your... God sees your soul. God sees you in the deepest part of your soul. He knows you. So be honest. Be honest. Tell him what you're sorry for and ask for his blessing. That's what the sacrament of reconciliation is. You don't want to be on the edge. You want to be right in the heart of it, because that's where God draws you. He draws you then even more to his heart. And that's what we want. We want him to teach us his ways more and more and more. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 29 to 31. This is a brief one. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. Our life here, brothers and sisters, hasn't really begun yet before God. He's given us years to learn how to follow him, if we've taken advantage of that. He's shown us how to obey him, how to be with him, how to call on him when you're in need, or you seek wisdom, you seek understanding. How many times I've done that when I didn't know what was good or right. And you know what happens? God doesn't come down and speak, you know, in great volume about who he is, etc. No, you just get a thought in your head, or you pick up a book or something. There's just something that happens in a day or two afterwards that you have an idea, oh, that's odd. And then you think, oh, perhaps it's God. But you listen carefully. Listen carefully. Trust him. If you don't hear anything, then keep going the way you're going, but give him plenty of time to speak to you. Brothers and sisters, because the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20 does tell us, as I was just reading in the second reading, he tells us the time is running out. Time is running down. You don't want to die tomorrow and not be ready. This is not meant to be some kind of, I don't know, some kind of talk that you would give at a funeral or somewhere. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, bring every day to the Lord. He knows you're weak. He knows we're all weak. He knows we fail. Bring your failures to him. Bring them to him. Bring them, if you are Catholic, bring them to confession. Because God hears you, and he will heal you. He will cancel out your sin when you tell him that you are truly sorry. And that's what we need, brothers and sisters. The Gospel of Mark today, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20, says this: After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Hear that. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. Think of that. This was their livelihood. This was everything for them, getting fish. But they abandoned their nets. They heard the Lord, and they followed him. He walked on a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. And then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. He calls us. He calls us. Each and every one. You don't have to have a great job and lots of money that you can do what you want. That's not what God calls great. It's humility. It's justice. It's kindness. It's patience. It's love. It's hope in him. Faith in him. That all together, you and I, all of us, will one day see his face. That's what God wants to do. He loves us. He loves us beyond price. He loves. I just keep saying that to myself sometimes. He loves us. Elizabeth Le Sueur wrote this. She died in 1914, but she is now up for canonization. And she wrote this. Inasmuch as I advance, sustained by God, in the way that he has indicated for me, my duty is increasingly clear to me. It is important not to lose myself in unrealizable plans and projects, not to live in the future, but patiently to turn thought into action, goodwill into determination. I've had much conversation and discussion with some dear friends who do not believe. There is a veil between them and God, a veil that allows only a few rays of love and beauty through. Only God, with a divine gesture, may part this veil, and then the true life shall begin for them. And I, who am worth so little, believe in the power of prayers that I unceasingly offer for them. I believe in prayer because God exists and because he is the Father. I believe in this mysterious reality that we call the communion of saints. I know that no cry, no desire, no yearning of our inmost depths is lost, but all go to God and through him to those who inspired us to pray. I know that only God affects our infinite transformation and that we can only point out to him those we love, saying, God, make them live. Christianity alone addresses the individual. That is what is most interior. It alone penetrates to our depths and is able to renew us. All Christians are obliged to be concerned about this crisis through which we are passing. This will perhaps change us profoundly. New needs require new apostles. The people, the masses, the majority of the country, the workers, humble laborers of every kind need to be shown the true source of all freedom, justice, and real transformation. If we do not make God known to them, we shall have failed in our most important obligation. But this is a work that demands self-forgetfulness, disinterestedness, a steady determination for which we need God and for which we must completely be transformed. We can only do that with God's power and God's help. Brothers and sisters, this is written by the servant of God, Elizabeth Le Sueur, as I said. And I've done that because I want you to hear what she has to say. This is a married woman from France, and her cause for canonization is underway. Brothers and sisters, he loves you. He cares for you. Draw close to him. Be patient. Persevere. I pray for you too. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.